So we're back. Whitney still wants to keep going, so she'll be back in here in a second, and we'll keep chatting with Whitney and continue on. Hopefully, those of you who are watching continue over. If you're catching this on the replay, this is part two of my interview with Whitney Wegman Wood. I'm calling it episode 10.3.1. So make sure you go watch or listen to 10.3 first. And then come back to this. This is Whitney Wegman Wood, part two. So she'll be here in a minute. Here she comes. Actually, let's bring her up. Hey, Whit.
Hi.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. My internet just like completely crashed out.
Well, it'll be very exciting for you to see me talking to no one whenever you get back, because I kept talking for a
Not
while.
knowing Clark Smith is watching. So
Oh, excellent. I'm glad Clark Smith is watching.
I know we had at least Clark in there watching at the time.
I was talking about, all the snot string, which you are familiar with,
That was the
and
last thing I caught was you said snot string, and then you're like, oh, you're gonna love this. Internet died.
wait until you watch it back. It'll be great. There are a few other
Hey,
things. I
there's
mean, we
Clark.
I know we've been running for Hi, Clark. We've been running for a while, but I don't know. There were a few like thoughts that I wanted to share. One, my mom got to come and be on set for this production. She was actually our COVID safety officer's assistant slash
Right.
set nurse, because my mom is a pediatric RN, retired. And that was kind of really special, because my mom's always seen the end result of any of my acting. She's seen the plays and the films, but she hasn't really seen the process or the work that goes into it. And we had this really kind of like sweet moment one day, because there was just some downtime for me, because I didn't have my scene until later on in the day, and she was all done with doing the nursing help, and unless somebody needed a Band-Aid. She kind of came over to me and gave me a big hug and told me that she was proud of me, and she appreciated seeing how much work went into this, and she's like, I'll never watch another movie the same way. And she hasn't, because
Right.
there's been a couple times recently. We were watching Enola Holmes, and she's like, I can't help but think that's a green screen, and that's and she was like picking out all this stuff, and she's like, you may have ruined movies for me.
Yeah.
But she
Or
had
enhance
fun,
them. Because
or enhance them.
I find it really enjoyable to know how the sausage is made, because I appreciate more what people are doing.
I see Clark has a question. He said, all right, is it all shot and edited? It's shot. I've seen three versions of the rough cut. It's getting very close. And then it has to be passed off to our sound mixer, David Dawson. So I may
Me,
have,
this guy.
that guy. So David's going to be doing, he's our sound designer. Why did designer just
I was going
the
to leave you on
wording
that ledge for a little bit longer.
sound designer and mixer, and then it will go off at the same time to the colorist, and then probably at the same time to our composer, and then at some point probably after the colorist it will go off to our CGI person. So there's a lot of hands that still need to touch this before we see a trailer or anything like that, but it's getting there. It's getting there. But yeah, it is all shot. It's in the can. Done and done.
Well, and you get the fortunate thing where I now know how to do a 5.1 sound mix. So
Ooh. I don't know what that means, but that sounds really
you're gonna have a surround sound short film.
awesome. I love it. That's Sorry, I just had a moment that I've had multiple times in the process of this movie where somebody says something, I'm like, that sounds awesome. I have no idea what it means, but yeah, let's do it. Clark, we didn't shoot on a Red. We shot on a Sony, and then we actually had these Zeiss lenses. Is that right?
Zeiss
Zeiss.
lenses.
I was right the first time. Zeiss lenses. And so I guess it enhanced the Sony's abilities. Again, this is where I'm like, people say something, I'm like, that's cool. What does that mean? What does that do for the film? And they'd have to explain it to me.
Yeah. The feature that I just finished editing was shot on Red, and I gotta tell you, I'm not a huge fan of the red footage.
We talked about shooting on a red, but there was like a couple of reasons. One was budget, that's why I chose not to shoot on a red. And two was we had two Sony cameras. So I liked the idea of having a backup.
Yeah,
Again, this was
you and I talked about that quite a bit.
yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of that is just, again, stage manager sensibility where it's like, rather have a backup and than not. But yeah, it turned out I think it's as quality as the red. I don't. I looked at both. Like I did a lot of research on both of them once, once everybody's like, oh, well, we have this or we have this. And so I started watching different footage. And really, depending on how you do the colorization at the end, like they look very similar.
Yeah. Especially if you're doing a really, really stylized color correction pass, like it almost doesn't matter. As long as you're shooting log and raw, like,
Yeah.
you know.
Well, and the biggest thing was we had so many low light scenes that we just really wanted a camera that did well in low light, and the Sonys seemed to really do perfectly fine.
Yeah, the Sony's the Blackmagic pocket cinema camera, 4K, 6K, those do pretty well in low light. The reds, again, it depends on what lenses you're using too. Faster lenses, darker scenes, you can get away with stuff. But really, kind of the key there is I always say shoot with what you got and shoot with what you're the most comfortable with, you know? Especially if you're doing an independent film, like, you know, an independent short film at that, which is never going to get distribution. You know, it's not, you know, it's a festival piece.
Well, and these Sonys were they were Taylor's Sonys, so she's super comfortable with the camera. So it's like you said, like you want to make sure that the equipment aligns with the people that you have on board and make everybody as comfortable as possible. So, but yeah, I was really impressed with the Sony cameras. We have a couple of shots where it's like the night sky. You can see the freaking Milky Way. It's so pretty.
Well, it helped that you're also in the middle of nowhere.
Oh
So,
yeah, there was no light pollution. It was awesome. It was just like black with little dots.
You remember I went and shot the comet that came by a couple years ago.
Yeah.
All of my footage came off of my Blackmagic pocket cinema camera.
Nice. Yeah, those are
So,
really pretty shots.
yeah, all the footage, all the shots you saw, the comet on the horizon, and you know, like, yeah, that was all shot on my pocket cinema camera.
See, that's one of those where I kind of want an excuse, like write something where we have to go out to New Mexico. Because, man, have you seen some of the night shots out there? Gorgeous.
Middle of nowhere in Arizona too.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, the further away you can get from city lights, the better.
Yeah, actually, up in Julian, they have that whole no light pollution ordinance, I guess.
Yeah, there's a campground in Julian, and again during COVID time, my family and I, we went up to that campground. We stayed there when I think it was the Perseids meteor shower was happening. And it was
Yeah.
gorgeous. It's just
So
beautiful.
pretty.
So, but Whitney, I'm incredibly proud of you and all the work
Oh.
that you put in. And I know there were periods of time where you were like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to just give up and throw it in. And I knew that that wouldn't happen. I knew that you would push forward. And I even encouraged you at a couple of points to be like, hey, maybe you should think about slowing down and stepping back and pushing production to a different time. But I know you had your heart set on Cooper and you wanted to make sure that that worked. And he only had that one window.
Yeah.
And kudos to you. You've heard me say it on the podcast. You've heard me say it on my own sets. Anytime you can finish production on any film, it's a small miracle. And congratulations on birthing your miracle. Like that's
Thank you.
you know, that's something to be really proud of, regardless of how the film turns out, regardless of how it does in festival run. This is something that no matter what, you're always going to be able to look back and go, I did that. I didn't give up. I pushed and pushed and pushed and through force of will made this happen. And that's an accomplishment that nobody can take away from you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I think I kind of needed to hear that because I don't know about you, but and maybe our audience out there too, but I have definitely been having like the post New Year's, post holiday sort of downturn, the blues, and it thank you for reminding me that I did like a big thing this year and it's okay to be a little tired.
Yeah, you were not, you were giving yourself crap for like taking a week off. And as I was reading your post, I'm like, girl, you need to fucking chill because you literally you gave birth to something. Like that's a lot of work. And you have earned every right to have a week or two where you don't do shit.
Yeah, I'm not. I personally am just not good at that. I'm
I'm
always.
not good at it either. I'm editing or I'm podcasting or I'm at work or whatever. But I have to remind myself sometimes too that it is completely okay to give yourself some time. And you've done enough work that you deserve a little bit of time to just not stress about anything, you know?
Yeah.
Just don't stress about anything for just a moment, because once you start getting close to the end of post-production on this, then all of the I'm submitting to this, I'm submitting to that. The funds are drying up because we're, and it's expensive to submit a movie to a lot of film festivals, and most of them are going to tell you no. And that's really disheartening. So take the time to just chill right now because you've got more stress on this film coming, I'm telling you. As a producer, I'm telling you right now, the stress isn't over, girl.
Oh, I
This
know.
is the
I know.
pause. This is the pause. Enjoy the pause.
I should try and enjoy the pause. What is that?
It was my 8:15 alarm that I'm not supposed to eat now.
Oh.
So,
Oh, yes, 'cause backdoor time tomorrow. Got it.
not because of that. I do intermittent fasting. I only eat between 12 and 8. So,
Right.
yeah.
So, I tried that actually. 'Cause I told you that I was trying to lose weight for the film 'cause I'm supposed to look quite thin by the end of it. And so I started doing the intermittent fasting.
Words.
Words are struggling. It's getting late. I've been up since like 6 a.m. I
I've
guess
been up
you've been
since
up
five, so
since
you
5, yeah. So words, they're hard. But yeah, so I did the intermittent fasting and I lost like 10, 12 pounds in just a month and a half or so, which was great. I mean, because it helped with the makeup and looking emaciated by the end of the movie. But yeah,
Well,
that
there
it
you go. I'm
works.
glad it worked.
It worked.
Because I
But
know we
then the
talked
ho
about the fact that you needed to be emaciated a bit.
yeah, but then the holidays happened and all that work was undone.
Right. Well, the good news is you could go back to intermittent fasting. You could lose it again.
I can.
And we can go hiking.
Yes, hiking's good and important.
I did do the treadmill at work, so
Nice.
I did not miss out on doing a bit of a walk because I know we skipped Sunday because I wasn't feeling well, but I did end up going to the treadmill at the gym and at work and got a little bit of walking in. So
That's awesome. So John and I have been walking at least half an hour every evening.
there
So
you go.
there you
It
go.
helps that you have a partner who does that with you.
Yes.
Me, if I want to go walk for a half hour in the evening, it's like it's alone. It's a little
Yeah.
dark.
Well, most of since about 2020 on, it's just been me alone, but the John is on the bandwagon now, so
There you
now I
go.
got a buddy. It's that new year, new you thing.
So having gone through what you've gone through, what would you say to another one of our actor friends who's contemplating jumping into producing their own thing? What would you tell them?
Do you want knee-jerk reaction?
I want an honest Whitney reaction.
My knee-jerk reaction is, don't do it! Don't do it! No. Oh man, I feel like moms right after they give birth and they're like, just don't. I don't ever want to do it again. Not all of them, some of them. A few people I know are like, no, we'll never do that again. It's a lie. I'm probably gonna do it again.
I know
Whoa,
I've
okay.
already talked to you about doing it again.
I know. So words of wisdom. Give yourself more time than I did, for the love of God. Yeah, obviously, like, I had a very specific reason why I was on a time limit, because my lead actor only had
But
one week.
even before you locked Cooper in, like we talked in May, and you're like, I want to shoot this thing in October. Do you think we could do it in September? And
Yeah, I did say that.
I was like, no, God, no.
I did say
I
that.
was like, you could, but only if you got a ton of money and don't really care what the quality's like. Sure, we could do
Right.
it that fast.
Yeah, I don't know why I was so hell-bent on getting it. I mean, obviously once the whole Cooper thing happened, but yeah, you're right. Like, I did set a very early timeline even before
I
I had
think
him
it's
locked
because
in.
you'd never done it before. So you had wild expectations about how easy it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to
Well,
get it done before 2022 was over, I guess.
let
I
me
don't know.
ask you a little bit about that too, because we've had this discussion a little bit that like I'm overdoing like the 48-hour film project, right? And I have said a few times that I think doing that too many times leads you to think that that's how production should be. Like, we can get this done really fast and we should,
Right.
right? Like, there's no need to take 6 months to make a movie. I'll take a year to do a short film, like, as
Which is
much
not
time
actually a
as I
bad
can
timeline.
get. Yeah, as much time as I can get, I'll take it to make my films. Do you think that? Because as an actor, you've had so much film experience in situations like that, where it's 48-hour film projects, National Film Challenge, it's corporate jobs, which oftentimes feel like they're really rushed. Do you think that affected kind of your perception of what the work would be?
I mean, I don't know that it was just that necessarily. I think it goes back to what you said earlier about the fact that as an actor who pretty much has always just acted, at least within film, in theater I've had more of a well-rounded experience, but I think I just didn't know, you know, because even whenever I've been on bigger projects, for me, it's a few days, a week tops, you know, in whatever time. You know, I'm working on my lines and stuff beforehand. Yeah, I think I just didn't know any better. So both probably because of, you know, like you said, the shorter projects I've worked on, but even the longer projects, like, I don't have any scope of what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. When I shot What's the Vig, all those years ago, my first feature film, we had an actor on the set who, I'll be, he talked about it when he podcasted with me after, so I'll go ahead and say it. But our lead actor, kind of got really testy with us towards the end of the 26-day shoot, and laid the law down with us that he wasn't going to be on set longer than 8 hours for any of the remaining days of shooting. And we just needed to figure it out. Because he was tired of being on set for 10 hours and only working for six, It's like, dude, do you have any idea that the crew is sleeping on the set at night because we're here that late? And we don't want to drive home and have to drive back in the morning. Like he just didn't understand how hard the crew was working compared to what the actors were being asked to do. Like it was so disheartening for the crew when they found out,
Oh.
afterwards, they're like, why is he the last, he's our lead. Why is he the last actor on set? We were trying to dance around it and not throw him under the bus, It was like, well, we're working through some things, and so we're gonna get him here towards the end, and we'll shoot all his stuff and get it all out so he can get home, because he's got things he needs to be home for, personal matters, and we tried to like play it like that. But once he saw the film like finished and he'd listened to all the podcasts that we had been putting out during post-production, he sat on the podcast with me. He's like, dude, I had no idea that you guys were sleeping on the set at night. And I was like, yeah, man. Like, we were putting in 22-hour days. And, you know, you complained to us about being on call for 10. You know, it's like, you're our lead actor, you know? Like, you're supposed to set the example for all the other actors. And the example you gave at the end was like, I don't care enough to be here
Yeah.
all day, you know? Like, I was like, that was really hard for everybody. It was hard on the cast, you know, the other actors who would come for the regular call, bust their ass to get through his scenes, and then we'd shoot all the stuff he's not in after he left, you know? Like,
And
it
that's
was
like a for
rough.
real thing, like the whole idea of like the lead kind of sets the tone. Cooper and I talked about that a lot. He was amazing, by the way, as far as like setting the tone, like just so jovial and ready to jump into anything. And you know, I felt like I had to set that tone too. Of course, you know, I was flipping back and forth between wearing hats, but you know, I always tried to be like very upbeat and make sure that people were taken care of. I think that's what it was. Cooper was like the upbeat, very jovial one, and I was the one who was like, "Do you need anything? Do you need some hot cocoa? I know it's cold out. Do you need to take a break?" Yeah, I was very mom. I was
You
playing
played
mom.
the
Yeah. Yeah.
parents.
I just realized that like the entire time on set we were just our characters.
So that works out.
Yeah,
But
he
yeah,
was the
it, I know a lot of actors feel like that, like I bad mouth actors when I say you don't understand how much work these other people are putting in compared to what you're doing. You know, I've had a number of actors say to me that I find that really like harsh and offensive, and I go, okay, well, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way, but there are a lot of artists on the set, and I don't think you understand how much work these other artists are putting into it. Not compared to you, but in support of you, you know? And you stand on the shoulders of all these people who've done all this work. And I
Right.
think it's important for actors to understand that and to truly appreciate the crew around them. I think it's incredibly important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, definitely that was one of the things that I really appreciated about my undergrad. They were very firm believers in, you know, walk a mile in each other's shoes and having well-rounded actors. So even if you were in the acting program, you still had to do tech. Even if you were in tech, you still had to do acting classes. And, you know, I haven't really gotten a lot of opportunity to do the tech side, moving from theater to film. And it's good to experience it, and it's good to be reminded like how much work goes into this from everybody. Because yeah,
All the
actors
way
do get
down
a
to
little.
craft services, man.
I was
You
just
know?
talking about craft services whenever you disappeared. So whenever I was talking to our audience just solo, I shared with them, we had some beautiful ladies who were our craft services on set, Lenita Roper and Fanchon Shadden, and they were just awesome. They are retired ladies. They w own the restaurant there in Kansas, Mound City, where we were shooting, and they killed it. Like a as an actor, and you know this, David, because I usually send you pictures from set of my food. Craft services is like a benchmark of a good day in my mind. So I was very proud to have those ladies as part of our production. Very proud of the food that they served to everyone.
That's great.
And very happy to eat it.
It's important. And it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
There's not a single person on a film set, or shouldn't be a single person on a film set, who's not busting their ass, you know? And when I say busting their ass, it looks different for everybody, you know? I'm not saying actors don't work their asses off, because they absolutely do. But it's very different from the work that the DP's doing, and it's very different from the work that the grip is doing, and it's very different from the work that the sound guy is doing. And actors, it's exhausting. I am an actor. I know the work that goes into it. it's exhausting. You mentally have to be there at the moment they say action. And yeah, you may be sitting around for 3 hours waiting for that moment, right? And you can't get so lost in doing something else that you're not ready when it's time, you know? And when it's time, you got to be on. But you have to understand that you got to be on because all those other people have been working for 6 hours getting to that moment.
Yeah.
And they're still working while you're doing your work. They don't get to take the break,
Absolutely.
you know? So it's you know, and it's and again, it's just different, but we all work together to support one another. And in the end, the crew's there building all the stuff to put in place for the actor to shine. So, you know, it all feeds towards the actor anyway. So I'm glad you got the experience. And I do believe that understanding that makes you a better actor. Because I think that appreciation level that you'll have when you set foot on set again as an actor, that understanding of what the team around you is doing will allow you to be conscious of what they need from you too.
Yeah,
Right?
absolutely. Yeah.
Now that you've worked with a DP as a producer and kind of gone through that with her and with the director on what the vision of the film is and what the framing of the shots should be, and all that's going to help educate you working with your next DP as an actor, because
Right.
you're going to understand what it is they're trying to do. You're going to understand instinctually why the blocking needs to be this or that, you know, and you can help with the whole process because, you know, like what lens are you on? You know, once you start understanding the lenses, like, oh, I'm on a 55. Okay, well, that's like a medium close up. That's great. You know, like, oh, I'm on a 16. Oh, okay, that's a wide. So like my whole body's in the shot. You know, like there's whole different language that you can speak once you start to understand that, and you can
Yeah.
just be listening to the crew talking to one another and catch enough stuff to be like, okay, I know what my framing is. You know.
And that was actually really fun, like listening to the discussion of different things, 'cause you know, once in a while, obviously, like not if it was going to slow things down, but I'd be like, okay, what does that do? And what does it, you know, what is that for? So it was fun getting to learn that side of it, and even just the lighting and stuff, that was really interesting to watch how they did all the different effects, because we had one where it was supposed to be like a campfire look, and so creative, even just in the lights.
Yeah, it's fun. I love all that stuff. You know, I started out in lighting, so lighting is kind of my thing. I was a theater lighting major, so.
Lighting was always really challenging for me. Like I said, in undergrad, like they required us to do a little bit of each thing, and so at one point I did have to do lighting design, and boggled me. I'm just like, it doesn't behave like pigments. Urgh! And I'd
As
get
you can,
really
yeah, because pigments are additive, and light is subtractive.
And it
Yeah.
would really frustrate me because like I for whatever reason at that point in my life, I mean since then like I've done more lighting and I understand it better, but I could not wrap my brain around it whenever I was in undergrad.
I mean, look at my lighting setup. Like, obviously, lights is still important to me.
Yes.
I've got magnetic clip lights.
Nice.
I've got wand lights. Even my bedroom lights are all LED strips and colored RGB LED lamps in the lamps.
For
So
the
yeah.
love of light.
And I can control it all with my phone. It's like a disco in here. It's crazy.
Technology. David's disco. I like it.
But well, I'm looking forward to getting the film, working on the audio for you, and you know, just another piece of collaborating that you and I get to put into our bucket of things that we've done together.
I think it's gonna be killer. I've just, like you said, you know all these new sound things now. I don't even know what you're talking about, but it sounds awesome.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, I can make it sound like a bird is flying from behind you, over you, and then in front of you in a way, right? Like, I can create that surround soundscape now. So,
Nice. I like it.
yeah. So yours will be my second picture where I do a 5.1 mix. So.
Ooh, so excited. I do think it's gonna be cool. I can't wait. I periodically, I fluctuate back and forth between like, oh, there's so much work still to be done, and then like, oh, but I'm so excited. Look how pretty this looks.
Oh, that's fun. Well, let's give everybody one last chance to ask you a question or post a
Yeah.
comment before we wrap this up. We'll leave this up for a minute or so. Going forward this year, like obviously we're going to finish your film. I very much want to work on a play with you. Maybe for Fringe, but like, you know, I probably need to look at the calendar and figure out how that'll work.
I mean, if not at Fringe, we do have access to quite a few little theaters around here. I think we could work it out.
Yeah, and I definitely I need to shoot Midnight Rest.
You
I
do.
got I got to get that done. I got to get that out of my system. So
Yep. It's been clawing at your consciousness for like a while now.
yeah, so will you produce it?
Yeah, I already said that I will come on
I
as
just wanted to get
producer.
it on recording so you're on the hook.
All right, I'm on the hook. I'm helping David produce this, despite my earlier comments about how painful producing is.
Yeah, it is painful. It is very painful. And with my full-time job now, I can't devote all my time to it anymore. So I gotta have somebody to help me. And Teresa's on the road all the time, so
I will be
she's
happy
not
to
able
help
to
you
help me.
produce.
That's a relief. All right. Well, it looks like we're not getting any more questions for the night, which is fine. It's fine.
All right.
We do need to have Clark on to talk about Mystery Highway, which is
Yeah, we
a
do.
film we worked on
It is. That is now
together.
streaming.
It's now
People should go
available
watch it.
streaming on, what is it? Amazon. I think it's on Vudu now. Tubi. I think it's on Tubi.
Tubi, and I think Apple TV. Am
And
I
is it
wrong?
on? Is it on? Yeah, it might be on
I'm
Apple
trying to
TV.
think. I think I rented it off of Apple TV whenever I was because I watched it with my dad whenever I was visiting in Atlanta. Oh, Clark's on there. Tubi.
Let's see here.
And nope, not nope.
Yeah,
Okay.
Tubi and of course
Reveal.
Reveal. Yeah, so it's on a number of different streaming platforms. So
Well, people should go check it out.
Clark, let me know when you're available, and we'll set it up, you, me, and Whitney, and we'll chat about Mystery Highway.
Is awesome. I was really excited. Like, it was fun watching that with my dad. He
Yeah,
liked
what
it
do
a
you
lot.
think?
He really enjoyed it. I mean, he loves sci-fi stuff like that, and he thought that it worked out really well. Like, that it was just like the little tidbits. It was definitely a throwback to because back in the day, there was like what Quicksilver Highway kind of had that lead in, and trying to think of other. I used to watch all kinds of ones where it was a wraparound story with the shorts, and now I can't think of any of them except for Quicksilver Highway, because Highway.
Well, you had Creepshow and
Creepshow, yeah, that one. And
Twilight
Creepshow 2,
Zone and
Twilight Zone.
Outer Limits and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the idea of short film anthologies. Like, I think it's great, you know.
I do too.
And so I'm glad that we were able to make that work with Clark and that it's out there now and people can see it and hopefully they're enjoying it. And yeah, we'll get him on. He also
Ooh,
mentioned Cat's Eye.
Clark just said
Yeah.
Cat's Eye. That was a good one too.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, we figured out how to make that work using things that we had already shot and then wrapped it around in a wrapper. So we'll get into all the details of that when we have Clark on the show. So yeah, Clark, send me a message, let me know when you're available and Whitney and I'll come on and we'll chat with you about the film. So Whitney, any parting thoughts for everybody?
Oh gosh. I'm gonna say this for everybody, but I really wanna, I'm telling myself this. Take this time at the beginning of the year to do some self-care and prepare yourself for 2023.
There you go. That
Everyone could
works.
use this advice. Hopefully, I'll take my own good advice.
Hope so too. You need it. You need some rest. All right, Winnie. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you,
And
David.
everybody, like I said, we're available on Spotify and all the other podcast platforms, Apple's podcast, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're probably there. And you'll be able to watch video on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/intellectualentertainment, or you can watch the videos on Spotify. So until next time, I've been chatting with Whitney Wegman Wood.
I've been chatting with David S. Dawson.
And this is the Intellectual Podcast.
Hello there, citizens. I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the floaty that will not flush no matter how many times you try in the toilet bowl of crime. I am Darkwing Duck, telling you, please, talk hard and enjoy the mindgasm. Whatever the heck that means. After all, you are watching Intellectual Podcast with your ears.